I'm Pamela Powell for Real Honest Reviews and The Daily Journal. A United Kingdom stars David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike in this historical portrayal of King Tsiretse Kama and Lady Ruth Williams. Taking place back in 1949, post-World War II, a young Tsiretse from Botswana is finishing his studies in Britain, enabling him to better rule his country upon his return. However, things are complicated when he meets and falls in love with Ruth. This interracial marriage is turned into a political pawn, testing the waters of love and politics. It's a true story that at its core is a love story, but one with world peace and political fallout. I had the honor of interviewing the remarkably talented David Oyelowo, who portrays Tsiretse Kama. His insight into playing historically significant characters, why we are depending on Hollywood to teach us our own world history, and what he hopes for our future is all a part of the interview. Stay tuned and hear what this brilliant and charismatic man has to say.
You played Martin Luther King Jr., and now you're playing King Kama. Mm-hmm. When you were researching these two characters, what did you find were some of the commonalities between these two iconic and very historically significant people?
Well, I think the thing that drew me to both of them from a commonality point of view is that they are both men with an enormous capacity for love and an enormous capacity for self-sacrifice, for their communities, for their people, for others,
right.
So to speak. I mean, very overtly so in terms of Dr. King, but, you know, what distinguishes Tsiretse Kama and the part of his life that we tell is that we see him falling in love with someone from an entirely different culture, entirely different country, and how his love for his wife is pitted against his love for his country.
Right.
And someone who has that level of passion for both and for those two things being at odds is where a lot of the drama in this particular mm-hmm. film comes from.
And it's just such a beautiful story. I thought, my goodness, here's yet another story, historically significant story for our world history that I had no idea about. I didn't know about the Loving case. I don't know if you've seen the movie Loving.
Yeah.
Hidden Figures. And I don't know if you've seen I Am Not Your Negro.
Right.
Amazing documentary.
Yes.
Why am I relying on Hollywood to tell me these really significant stories? What do you think about that?
Because they are all fairly shameful chapters in whether it be America or Great Britain's history.
Okay.
And that's why they get buried as stories. And that's why we don't do a good job of learning the lesson, having made mistakes in the past, because we are very good at trumpeting our successes, at the things we did well, at the things we did for other countries or other people well,
okay.
but not when we denigrated or subjugated or repressed or oppressed people, whether it be women or people of color. And that's why these stories get buried. But they're so important so that we don't make the same mistakes again.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yes, yeah.
How did you learn about this story? I mean, you're from Britain, right?
I'm from
did
the UK,
did you know this
yeah.
story?
I didn't. And, you know, as someone of African descent, you know, I'm of Nigerian parentage.
Okay.
I lived in Nigeria for 7 years. And when I happened upon the story 7 years ago, 2010, I read a book called Calabar that is about Ruth and Tsiretse. And I was both ashamed and shocked at the fact that I didn't know the story. And above and beyond it being something that I felt the world should know, this love story just had me. And
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you know, that's one of my favorite things to experience from a movie point of view, is seeing two people who are genuinely in love and how that love triumphs against adversity. And this just felt like the ultimate movie when it came to that.
And I understand there was a photograph that you saw that just really hooked you. What was the photograph?
It was actually the photograph on the cover of the book.
Oh.
It was literally the both of them walking down the street together, arm in arm, just clearly completely in love. But it was clearly from the 40s, and you just don't see images of black people and white people in that kind of proximity without a care in the world.
Right.
There was just it felt familiar and unfamiliar all at the same time, and it drew me in a way that I just had to know more, and when I did, I was kind of bowled over by the scope and scale of the story.
You know, when the first scene or two of the movie, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that Britain was so progressive back in the 40s and, you know, black-white relationships weren't an issue. I mean, that's kind of how you felt when, you know, you two first met at the dance and then you realize that no, that's not the case at all.
Exactly.
Producing this movie as well as starring in it, tell me a little bit about balancing those two roles.
Tricky, yeah. You know, because part of what has to happen as an actor is that you have to be quite single-minded about pursuing your line of the story and just being very focused on telling the truth of your character. But as a producer, you have to have the whole production in mind all the time. The focus needed to play a role like Sorezzi is something that inevitably is constantly being interjected by other concerns with the movie. No matter how many times you say, "Guys, leave me alone," I'm, you know, at the end of the day, it's like being a parent and suddenly deciding, you know what, I'm going to read my book.
Right.
Your children do not understand what you're talking about. So you just have to build, again, like having a parent, you know, I have four kids and you have two and you think, oh gosh, I couldn't manage another one. And your capacity expands again. And that's what you have to do as a producer. You just have to expand your capacity to take in information.
Well, you did a wonderful job with being able to balance it all and juggle everything.
Thank you.
The screenwriter, Guy Hibbert,
yes.
Am I saying his name
yes.
right?
Yes, you are.
He was able to go to Botswana and take a look at the scenery and meet the people there as well prior to filming. Were you able to do that as well?
I had actually been to Botswana beforehand. I did a show called Number One Ladies Detective Agency there that was shot in Botswana. That was the first TV show. Certainly from the West to be shot there. That was on HBO. So I'd fallen in love with the country then. Didn't know this story then.
Okay.
And then Guy, who is a friend of mine, we'd worked together before, then went to Botswana, managed to meet Sorezzi's sister, who was still alive at the time, and Ruth's sister, who was also still alive at the time and had moved to Botswana years ago and made it her home as well. They both unfortunately passed away just before we started shooting.
Oh, that's too bad.
That was a huge asset to us to have their voices for us to glean what had happened.
What did you change maybe about your performance that you may not have known or been able to integrate into your performance as Sorezzi?
I think the thing that people constantly talked about, and certainly we heard from them, is how palpable this love for each other was. It was discernible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that sort of reserved. You know, I think when you see British period dramas, there's a reserve to things. And even though there is a reserve in what you see in Ruth and Sorezzi, there is a palpable passion for mm-hmm. each other. There is a need for each other that people talked about, and that was something that was very important for Rosamund and I to show, that these people felt compelled to be together. And when they were being kept apart, it was the most unthinkable thing for both of them. So that, to me, was the thing that was that I took to heart the most.
Whenever you do a movie or create anything, actually, learn a little bit more, when you do something like this, how did this movie in particular change you as a person, or if it did at all?
Well, I'm married to a white lady myself, and the thing that I just kept on feeling making this film was how blessed we are to not have been subjected to what they were subjected mm-hmm. to. Because if we happened to be alive at a different time in history, that may have been us. It may have not been to that scale, you know, the countries, continents coming against us, but, you know, a very real desire from others around us for us to not be together. And we haven't, you know, experienced that. I wouldn't say to you that we haven't felt some opposition,
right,
from certain quarters, but nothing to the degree that these two face. And so that's the thing it shifted in me, was to just be so appreciative of me living in a time and in cultures and societies where, you know, my marriage is not, to be perfectly frank, deemed either illegal,
right,
or something to be stopped at all costs.
Right. Do you live in the UK still?
No, I live in the US now, in Los Angeles.
Tell me what your thoughts and feelings are with all of these different kinds of movies like Hidden Figures and Loving and things that bring black history to life, especially in the United States. What do you think about the political climate and how that may affect our future?
Well, it's a good question in relation to our future, because I think unless we understand the mistakes we made in the past, our future is in jeopardy. And, you know, what these films can help in doing is to show us that, show attitudes that prevailed back then that hopefully people understand were wrong, but also to see how they still remain in residue and sometimes in not so much residue. I mean, there are still people who are highly opposed to the idea of interracial marriage. I mean, I even heard recently that a cover of W magazine that had Mahershala Ali and Nicole Kidman on the cover, there was huge opposition to that. Just a black man and a white woman hugging together, and which you think that just seems crazy.
It does.
That we are still there, but. You know, we, in certain quarters, it's not everyone, but, you know, with social media and the ability for people to make their real feelings known nowadays, it's amazing how much this stuff is still with us. And even though we like to think we are in a progressive age as it pertains to women, thinking of a film like Hidden Figures, you still see the kind of pay, you know, wage discrepancies with women that indicate that we haven't moved forward enough.
Right.
In my industry, you know, how few women directors are being allowed to ply their craft.
7%. Yeah.
You know, that's insane.
It is.
And that's still with us. So as much as we like to think we have progressed, statistically, you look at 7% and you go, it seems like we're going backwards. In fact, we are, because the year before was 9%, and
right,
now it's gone down to 7. So
we're back to 1998, you know, with that. Yeah,
that's crazy.
What do you think as far as people of color and being able to be represented in films? Do you think that aspect is growing?
I think that what happens is that we have peaks and egregious troughs. And what the peaks do, so for instance, the acknowledgement of people of color, say in the Academy Award nominations, you know, people get encouraged by that, and we should be.
Right.
But, you know, we had that the year before Oscar So White. We had some nice representation, and then there was none for
right.
2 years. And I think the problem is the infrastructure, the infrastructural challenges that lead to the lack of representation of not just people of color, but women as well, are very much in place. And we should be aware that, yes, there were black people nominated, but barely any Asian people, no Hispanic people, and they represent a decent percentage of the population. So there are very real challenges that remain, and, you know, apathy and complacency are just things we have to fastidiously guard against.
Absolutely, I totally agree. When you were filming, I understand you were able to film in the house that Ruth and Tsiretse lived in.
Yes.
Tell me about the emotional impact that had on you during filming.
It was invaluable, really. I mean, I've been a huge beneficiary of shooting films in the place where the events took place. We had that with Selma. We had that with a film I did
right.
called Queen of Cartway.
Yeah, and great
with,
film,
with this, thank you. And with this, you know, to be literally stood in the same house that they stood in, to be playing out their life in their living room, in their bedroom, in their kitchen. I mean, it's just from an authenticity point of view, from just a feeling their spirit point of view, it was just so discernible. I mean, Rosamund gives birth in the very hospital where their first daughter was born. You know, that just, when you're trying to tell the truth within these kind of films, like I say, that's just invaluable.
Very good. One last quick question. What do you hope people will take away from this film? Final message.
That love can conquer all, and you see that indisputably in this film. And, you know, I truly think with some of the challenges we're facing today, that's going to be what it takes, that regardless of how different we may be in terms of cultural background, from a religious point of view, from a geographical point of view, to love and know how to be loved is going to be the thing that is going to help us overcome so much of what we're facing right now.
Beautiful message. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed listening to David Oyelowo talk about the film A United Kingdom and his role of King Soretse Kama. This is a film not to be missed. It's a heartfelt love story and a political thriller all wrapped into one amazingly entertaining film. If you're in Chicago, it's at the AMC River East and the Landmark Century Theaters. I'm Pamela Powell for Real Honest Reviews and The Daily Journal.